Spirit. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you so much, Lord, for your precious mercies, Lord, that your word says your mercies are new every morning. And so, God, we as a church, Lord, individually and corporately, we repent for anything that we've said. We repent for anything that we've done in our yesterdays. And God, we thank you that as we come into today, Lord, your mercy is fresh. Your mercy is new. God, and so we just embrace that mercy today. We embrace the goodness of God today. We embrace what you're saying, what you're doing, where you're moving us, where you're leading us. God, we embrace who you are in our lives today. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in a new way, in a tangible way, in a radical way upon your people. Holy Spirit, come and touch our lives, touch our families, touch our state. We love you, Jesus. I pray, God, anoint this word today. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we love you and we praise you. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. I got a message from Joshua, which I feel is very timely, relevant, pertinent, because we are living in some crazy times. Amen. We're living in a wild ride right now. It's just been a wild one. It's been a wild river ride. You know, you don't even know what's coming around the bend. It's like, you know, March, it's wow. April, dang. May, oh my gosh. You know, June, stop it. July has been kind of okay, but you know, if dinosaurs come around the corner, I will not be surprised. But it's just been a wild one. It's been a wild ride, but it reminds me of people in the Bible, because everything that we're experiencing, there's nothing new that's under the sun. And Moses and the children of Israel, they experienced some crazy stuff. They experienced some plagues. They experienced some pushback. They experienced some death threats. They experienced some storms. Amen. And, you know, it came to this point where Moses brought them to the place that he could take them. And now the reins had been passed to this man named Joshua. And you got to know that was probably pretty intimidating, to take the reins from Moses. Like, think about that for a minute. Like, Moses. Moses was like, he saw the most powerful miracles that are recorded in the Bible. And now Joshua has to follow up with that. He has to lead right after that. And so I'm sure there was a little bit of intimidation that could kind of set in. But he took it. He took the baton. Moses believed in him. Joshua believed. And there's something about the life of Joshua that's so compelling. He didn't have it all figured out, but this is what he did. He obeyed. And he believed God. And I believe if we will obey and if we will believe God, we will walk into our promised land, whatever that is. And so I feel there was something so special about Joshua's life, that he, in the midst of craziness, in the midst of giants in the land, in the midst of everybody else coming back with a bad report, oh, you're going to get killed, you're going to get slaughtered, there was something in him that just knew that God was good. That God, the same God of Moses is the same God of me. The same God of my fathers is the same God that's here today. Amen. The same God. And you can think about that in America. The same God that began to move powerfully in the 60s and 70s in the Jesus movement is the same God that's here right now. And he's ready to just unleash some power and some fire on his people. But the thing that I've been noticing in our time and throughout COVID-19 and throughout the racial tension and throughout the economic tension and all the tension that we find ourselves in, I feel and I see on social media and just from talking to people, I'm seeing a lot of people getting weary. I'm seeing a lot of people beginning to give up hope, give up on their future, give up on God, give up on their dreams, give up on their promises, give up on their family, give up on their marriages, give up on everything, giving up because it's just you get beat down and you get beat down. And that's the enemy's tactic. That's his plan. He doesn't just come at you with just a big Thanos punch or a Thanos snap, right? He beats you and he beats you and he beats you. And then he makes sure there's a slow bleed. So you just kind of keep suffering until you just want to give up. Huh. Say, don't give up. Say, don't drop out. Let's read a few verses and then we'll jump into this. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up. That's probably the only place in the Bible where it says shut up. Jericho was securely shut up because out of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. Amen. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times." Say 7 times. "And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you will hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout." Somebody shout. Everybody's like, "Well, don't you do that at the end of the message?" That's okay to do it in the middle. "Then the wall of the city fell down flat, and the people," or "then it will fall down flat, then the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to him, 'Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' Then he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns," come down a little bit, "they blew it. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets." Verse 10, "Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say, shout. Then you will shout.' So he said, 'The ark of the Lord, circle the city, going around it once.' Then they came around the camp, lodged at the camp." Let's drop down a little bit. Second day, third day, verse 17. Verse 15. "But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner." Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. "On that day only they marched around 7 times. And the 7th time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout.'" Come and shout. "For the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord of destruction. Only Rahab the harlot shall live." That's interesting. Of everybody in the city, God chose only a harlot to survive. Which just tells us, you know, many times we look at the outward and we judge people and we judge what's going on. But God looks at the heart and he says, "Oh, there's a righteous one. There's somebody after my heart. I'm going to spare that one. The righteous and all the judgmental, see you later." Hallelujah. "But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and honor consecrated to the Lord, they shall come to the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. "And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat." This is an awesome story. We know it. We've heard it. But I just feel it's important to revisit it. "Then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the 2 men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has.' And they saved her." Drop down a little bit. "They burned the city. only silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25, and Joshua spared Rahab. I'm just trying to condense a little bit because I got a message too. I could keep reading and reading. Verse 26, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all of the country. Hallelujah. That's a powerful story. But it speaks to me on many levels because it's a story about a man not giving up. It's a story about a man finding courage in a difficult situation. Finding courage. And God was giving Joshua the strategy and the keys on how to take his city. Take this city, Jericho. And I believe the Lord wants to give us keys on how to take our cities. He wants to give us keys on how to step into our promised land. But we have to listen to the word and we have to read between the lines sometimes because the keys are right there. Just as the keys were given to Joshua, the keys will be given to you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's going to be some keys given to you today. And so what is the Lord speak to Joshua? The Lord says, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you something. And he gives him four things, really awesome. But the first thing that he gives Joshua is a promise. Say promise. It says in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. See, the Lord will always start with a promise. And many times in my life, I think many times in a lot of our lives, we receive the promise and we drop out. You see, there's going to be, and I want to show you through Scripture and show you through chapter 6, there's a process that we have to walk through. But many times we will forfeit the end result because we can't even get past the promise. And so the first thing that God will always give us is a promise, a prophetic word, a scripture, something that you can hold on to. And I just want to encourage you, do not drop out before the promise. Don't drop out at the promise. Sometimes we get the promise and it's like overwhelming. How am I ever going to do that? How am I ever going to live up to that? How am I going to get the tools, the training, the resources to step into that? That's too big for me. And so we just kind of exit stage left, right? But if God speaks it, then that means he believes in us. if he speaks a promise, that means he actually believes in us. I remember it was 2005, and we went to Reading for a Jesus Culture conference. And I had just come back off the mission field for 3 years, and we actually went with this church. Justin, I think you were with me. We drove with a car with no AC. Remember that? into a Reading summer youth conference with no AC. It was awesome. Actually, Mark was with us. Peter and Jen's son that they adopted. Mark was with us. I forget who else was with us, but we get up there and this youth conference is just going off. It's just amazing. The presence of God is there, miracles, salvations, all this stuff. And I remember just feeling just so, just overwhelmed by the goodness of God. And I remember God kind of whispering into my spirit, I want you to do this very same thing in nations and in places that could never invite a Jesus culture. And I said, what? What is that? What does that even mean? You know, like, how will I get the resources? How can this happen? This is impossible. You know, but I had such a faith for it after he spoke it because it was a promise from the Lord. And so I didn't have the means. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I began to step into that, agree with the Lord and begin to partner with God. We did that very thing. We put on the very first youth conference in the history of Mongolia 2 years later. Team from this church and the Lighthouse, we went over there. We gathered about 1,000 plus young people, And we brought that same kind of environment, and miracles were happening, tons of salvations. And for the first time in their history, they experienced what we were experiencing here on a normal basis. And we got to do that in Haiti. I got to help send a team into Russia to do that very thing. We did it in Wyoming. Little Wyoming, nobody ever thinks about putting on a youth conference in Wyoming. It's like just horses and bulls and cowboys. But we said, let's do it in Wyoming. But it all started with a promise. And so what do you do when God gives you a promise? Like, how are you stewarding the promise? Because there's a verse 2. Look in your neighbor and say, God has given you a verse 2. See, verse 2 is the promise. Verse 2 is God speaking to Joshua. And it looks bigger than him. And it's like, okay, Lord, you want me to march around the city 7 times? Like, really? Like, but those are thick walls, Lord. It's impossible. And many times in my life, there have been times where I've received the promise and I've stepped into it and I've stewarded it well. But there have been times when I've received it and I've been overwhelmed and I've kind of taken a step back. And so I want to encourage us today. Number one, receive the promise of the Lord. If you haven't already, receive God's promise for your life. There's a promise, Lester Sommerall said, that there is 365 promises and even more. But if you just need one promise a day, there's at least 365 promises in the Bible. So there's a promise for you today. And whatever you need, you need a promise, you know, outside of just dreams and prophetic pictures and words, there's promises for your marriage. I need a promise for my kids. I need a promise for my future. I need a promise. I just need a promise for right now. There's something for your health. There's something for your finances. There's something for every aspect and every part of your life. There's a promise. Isn't that a good word? And so we need the promise. And Joshua received the promise. And the next thing that happens is he gives him the promise. And then God will always give a plan. Hallelujah. Say plan. I love this. Verse 3 and 4. You shall march around the city. All you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Say, blow the trumpets. Amen. There's a plan. See, God will give us a promise. But he doesn't just leave you. He doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't just leave us in left field and just like do whatever you want with that. Like, he will give you strategy if you'll ask for it. If you keep your ear tuned in, like, he'll give you the plan. And so he says, you're gonna take this city, Joshua. But I'm not gonna leave you there. I'm gonna tell you how to do it. Listen to my instruction. Listen to my plan, and you're gonna get breakthrough. And so he's always gonna give you the plan. There's a plan for our life. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a plan for your life. 1 Timothy 1, 4. It says, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. See, there's lots of things that we can listen to, and there's lots of people we can listen to, and there's lots of just talking we can listen to, but we really need to listen to God's voice for our life, and we need to listen to God's plan for our life, right? You know, and it reminds me of a awesome scripture in the Gospels of a certain rich young ruler. I mean, like that story. And Jesus came to him, and the man was like excited about living this new life. He was excited about what Jesus was teaching. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus kind of just says, hey, like, sell everything. Pick up your cross and follow me. And the Bible says that he went away sad, because his riches and everything in the world had a greater hold of his heart than God. And his plan was greater for his own life than the plan of God. See, God gave him a plan, You want to inherit this? You want to step into your destiny? You want to step into all that I've called you to? Then get rid of the stuff that is holding you captive. Get rid of all the stuff that's just squeezing your heart dry. And he left away, sad. I remember being 19 years old and really giving my heart to Jesus for the third or fourth time. But it stuck. Hallelujah. Don't you love it when it sticks? But it stuck. And I remember like just wanting to give my life to God. I just wanted to give my life. And I felt like the call of God upon my life. I felt a call into ministry. And I felt like God separating me and calling me to Bible college and calling me to the nations. And I'm like, well, what does this look like to be called into ministry? What does this look like to be separated? And I felt God speaking very specifically to me and said, you have to separate yourself from old friends. I don't want to do that, Lord. Like, I've known these guys forever. I don't want to separate myself from my old friends. These are my homies. These are my bros. These are my boys. No, you have to separate yourself because you're not strong enough in your spirit to be around them right now. And so I had to make a choice. And now I am. Now I can hang out with anybody. But at that particular moment in time, I was not. I was very weak spiritually. And so I had to separate myself. And then the next thing the Lord says is, I want you to break your music. Because the music was really an idol in my life. All the music, all my CDs. I had a big collection, 200 plus CDs. How many remember those days? Now it's all on your phone. But I had an awesome, awesome collection of CDs. You know, some of it was just, I loved old 70s drug hippie music. You know, even when I got saved, I'm listening to this hippie, you know, Pink Floyd and all this stuff. And then punk rock music and heavy metal music. And the Lord's like, you need to break this. Because there's a so ungodly soul tie. And every time I would listen to it, I would just think about partying. I would think to myself, well, it wasn't that bad. Well, there was some good moments. Oh, you know, I'm like, come on. And so I had to lay out my CDs and I had to break my CDs with a hammer, every single one. And something began to shift in my heart. And I had to make a decision that I'm going to follow your plan, Lord. I'm going to follow, because the Bible says that there's many plans in a man's heart. But it is the purpose of God that will prevail. And so we have to yield ourselves to His plan, His purpose, not our own plans. There's lots of plans in my heart, but my plans stinketh. Come on. My plans are no good. And I've messed up seasons of my life because I've tried to put my plan in. I've tried to implement my plan instead of His plan. It stinketh. And so he gives Joshua the promise. He gives him the plan, a very clear and precise plan. How many knows that when God gives you a plan, it's not always going to make sense. But if you do it, it'll be fruitful. It'll be fruitful. You know, I know there's story after testimony after testimony, story after story of people in this room doing that very thing, like God giving a picture, God giving a word, and something to step out in, and it seemed absolutely foolish. Anybody? But then there was fruit, and then there was breakthrough, right? That is how the Lord works. And so I just want to encourage people in their destinies today, because we found ourselves in a season that we didn't necessarily want to be in. I could have done without COVID-19, you know? Could have done without, you know, our cities burning and all the racial tension. I could have done without all this stuff and I would have been happy. But at the same time, Father, I thank you that you're revealing the hearts of men and women. I thank you that you're revealing the hearts of the church and the true authentic church. Now I've been able to just push aside off of my Facebook people that are really not leaders. And I love them. I pray for them. I bless them in the name of the Lord. But I'm like, no, I don't really want to let you influence my life anymore. Because of your political stance. Because of how, you know, things that you're just, You're dying on a mountain that you don't need to die on. And I just want to die on God's mountain. That's it. I just want to preach the gospel. I just want to die on His mountain. I just want to live for Jesus. I don't want to get caught up in all these things. And I just see so many people getting caught up in all these things. And it's just like, that's fine. But I'm not going there. I see a Jesus movement happening. I see a people rising up and taking their place in history. And what if we were the people that said yes to the call of God? What if we were the people that grabbed the baton of the ones behind us? See, Joshua had to grab the baton from Moses. Church of the Mountain, we had to grab the baton from a Albie. From a generation, from an Eric, from a generation that has gone before us. And now they're in their later years. And they can still pray, but they're not in the same kind of fight that they were back then. And so now they are passing it on to us. And so what do we do with the baton? Do we just drop it and say, you just keep doing it because it was awesome when you did it? And they're like, I can't do it because I'm now in my late 80s. There's a time to fight. There's a time to rest. There's a time to be a cheerleader. There's a time to be on the front lines. I don't want to be a cheerleader. My wife's an awesome cheerleader. She was awesome. I've seen pictures when she was a Bishop Bronco, but I don't want to be a cheerleader. At this point in my life, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to battle. I'm ready to be on the front lines. And honestly, I know we could be in that phase of our life for quite a long time. And so just keep fighting, just keep swimming. Amen. Yep, amen. Amen. There's a plan, there's a promise, there's a plan. And see, many people give up and they drop out at the plan. Because it seems too complicated. See, we get the promise, we're like, oh, hallelujah, Michael Dalton just prophesied over me. Praise God. I'm gonna have a ministry. I'm going to Africa. I'm going to this place. I'm going to Nepal. I'm going to shock and shake the nations. And then the plan comes and we're like, what? I can't do that. That's intense. That's a big word, right? Like that's a big plan. I can't walk into that because it's too overwhelming. And I'm just from Crowley. I'm just from Mammoth. I'm just from the Eastern Sierras, right? We say these things, but if God gives you the promise and He gives you the plan, then just lean into it, steward it, and it's going to come to pass. Amen. But that's the problem, and I'm seeing it, and I'm preaching on this because I'm seeing people on social media and people that I've been talking to, they are losing sight of the precious words that God has given them over the years. Words that were so strong in their heart, and it could be career choices. And they knew that God planted that specific word in their heart, and they're just letting it go. They're letting it die. Or dreams to build something for the kingdom of God. Dreams for your family. Dreams just for the Lord, and we're letting these things just wither and die. And we're letting this environment, we're letting the season choke out the goodness of God. Don't drop out. Amen. And the third thing that happens, you see, we see a promise, we see a plan, and then in verse 20, so the people shouted with the priest and they blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat down, hallelujah. Then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. In other words, there's a battle. There's a battle. And so there's a promise. There's a plan. Hello. There's a battle. There's a battle. There's going to be a battle for you to get from your promise to your promised land. You got to fight some giants. You got to slay some things that are getting in your way and some spirits and some discouragement, some insecurity, some rejection, some intimidation. Some fear. Fear tries to pop its head up, and you got to just take that sling and throw that stone and sink it into the giant's head. There's a battle. And see, it's we read that they took the city, but you think these people just said, oh, yeah, take our city, just do whatever you want. Like, we're just, you're awesome, we suck, you know. No, they fought. There's always a battle. You have to battle to get ground, to gain ground, to gain what God has given you. You've got to battle. And there's a lie that has been out there that we could just receive and just do nothing and just sit on the sidelines and God's going to do it all for us. That's a lie. We are in the army of the Lord. I'm preaching better than you're responding. And the truth of the matter is like, I mean, look at us right now in America. Look at the nations. Like, if you don't think battles happen, like, look at the world right now. We're in a battle. And people are dropping out left and right. All over the world, people are committing suicide at an astronomical rate right now. Because of what this virus is doing to people emotionally, mentally. The mental health is just crazy. And people need people. And so anytime they say, don't go to church and don't be around people, you know, say, sorry. I need health. I need spiritual health. I need mental health. I need emotional health. And God has a plan for us to get that. And that is, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Amen. I don't know. I'm just on fire today. I'm going on my bunny trails, my tangents. But, you know, life gets hard sometimes. It really does. Apart from COVID-19, life will get hard. There will be seasons where life, you're up to bat. I mean, there's been seasons where I've literally felt like I'm batting and I'm going to just smack. I see a home run. I see a grand slam. And then all of a sudden it's a curveball and it goes right behind me. I'm like, what just happened? How did I, you know, strike two, strike three. No, I'm not out. You know, and we get mad and we're fighting with things that we don't need to fight with. We're fighting with ourselves and we're fighting with each other and we don't need to do that. We need to battle the enemy because our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not with each other. Our battle's not with our friends. Our battle's not with our neighbor. Our battle's not with our spouse. Right. Our battle is with the devil. Come on. You know, and I have to remind myself of this, you know, because sometimes it's easy to get offended. It's easy to take that bait of Satan, and take an offense. And you look at the person, you say, I know, and in my mind, I'm like, I know it's the devil, but that person is making me mad. So I'm just going to say something to that person, then I'll take my fight back to the devil, you know. No, we don't do that. We've all done it. I've done it. But we need to focus our energy, our strength, our fight against the enemy. Amen? Let's knock him out of our city, knock him out of our personal life, knock him out of our families, knock him out of our churches, out of our country, out of our state. Let's just knock him out. Come on. Come on. I love David. He took his sling. He threw off the armor of the king. He said, this ain't going to work for me. And he takes his three smooth stones and he sinks one right into the head of the giant. And he probably died at that moment. But David's like, I don't care if you're dead or not. I'm going to take your sword and I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah. I saw a meme yesterday and it was funny. It just said, breaking news, it has now been released and found out that Goliath actually died of COVID-19. Decapitated and all. Says the CDC. Just in. See, we're called to finish our battles and we're called to fight our battles with faith. And you say, well, when does the battle stop? And when does the battle get less? It gets less when you leave your post. It gets less when you check out mentally and spiritually. and you throw in the flag. You say, I quit, I give up. And then, hey, you don't have to battle. You don't have to fight anymore. You can live an easy life. But if you've signed up to be in the army of the Lord, if you've signed up, come on, there are curveballs. And there is so much joy to be in the army of the King, to be at the service of the King, to feel His presence, to feel His joy in the midst of battle, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of everything going wrong, to feel His presence, to feel His satisfaction, to feel the joy of the Lord strengthening you and catapulting you. There's nothing like it. And there will be seasons. I'm not saying it's just a 100 years of just nonstop fight, fight, fight. There will be seasons where there's less battle in your life personally. But if you're not engaged, if we take a step back, then we are complacent and we don't look to our neighbor who is battling. See, the thing about the body of Christ is that we are called to be a family and we're called into community, and community fights for each other. Family fights for each other. You know, I love the song, This Is How I Fight My Battles. It's so prophetic. It's so profound because it's done in prayer. We fight our battles in prayer. I fight my battle in worship. But the thing that I think that song doesn't say, where they can't say everything in one song, but the thing that song doesn't say is that we fight for each other. Because there's going to be seasons in my life where I might feel a little bit weak. And I need somebody to come alongside me with their sword and fight for me. And then there's going to be seasons when maybe Patrick or Jack or somebody else is feeling weak. And I could run alongside of you and I could lift up my sword and I could fight for you. And that, see, it's family. It's community. It's a bond. And we fight for each other. We don't give up on each other. We don't gossip about each other. We don't throw each other under the bus when the other person's not, you know, looking. It's like, oh, you know, so and so, blah blah blah. You know, no, let's fight for each other. Amen. Hold up the shield of faith. Amen? Amen. Come on, this is how I fight my battles. And that's, yeah. And it was an honor to pray for you. We rallied on Zoom. You know, Don called a prayer meeting, and we got to pray. And then the church corporately was praying and. It was an honor to pray and to hold your arms up, as you have done for many. It was an honor. And you know, and people have done that for. I think all of us have that testimony. You know, there's been times in our life where we've just felt like giving up. And not that we want to give up on God, but it's just like the season's so overwhelming. You're like, I'm just gonna just wave the white flag. Maybe I'll come back in a little bit, but I'm just tired. You know, I've had those seasons, and I'm so grateful for the prophetic word that came. I'm so grateful for the friend that came with a hug, with a cup of coffee, with encouragement, with strength, because that's what we need in difficult times. We don't need to remove ourselves from the body. We actually need to get a little bit closer to the body. Amen? Because in the body, there's healing. And then we feel like this unity, like when there's such a unity that happens in battle. And it's interesting. It's like Dawn was saying this. She's like, it's so wild that even in the midst of this and our separation and we couldn't meet for 3 months. But yet there was this unity rising in the church. It's like, how is this possible? Because we're beginning to battle together more than ever before. We're beginning to pray together. We're beginning to link arms together. And a body that links arms together and a body that unites together in battle will be united for life. I read this about World War II, about the warriors and the fighters in World War II. They weren't fighting necessarily just for America. They were fighting for their brother. They were fighting for their brother that they became best friends with at the lunch table and just sleeping and looking at the stars and just dreaming about getting back to their families. Like, they were fighting for that one. I'll do anything to make sure that guy gets back home. And that's brotherhood. And that's family. And that's what we have been enlisted into. This is called the army of the living God. And this is no time to just kind of sit back and sing kumbaya songs. God is saying, put on your army boots. and go to war. We have to be ready to sing, to worship, to pray, to break down strongholds. Do what Kathy was preaching and teaching last week, bringing inner healing. Even when you don't feel like it, you don't feel like kind of bringing that strength and that freedom to somebody else. But gosh, we need to be a healthy body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Come on, say, don't leave your friends. You know, I mean, I said this, but I think I just got to say it again, because a lot of times we'll hit this season and we're like, I'm good. I feel good. I just feel great. But that guy's suffering. And I think it's injustice. Like, you want to talk about injustice? I think it's injustice to leave a friend just suffering. And just weak and tired and wanting to give up on life. And you're like, oh man, God is good. Oh, I don't want to look. I'll just turn this way. God is good. And we ignore the cries of our friends and our family and our loved ones in the body of Christ. That's injustice. So we fight alongside our people. We fight alongside the church. And we see the victory. Amen. And in a battle, you know, in a real battle, a soldier is demanded to do something. Like, they can't just show up to battle and just have their, you know, their machine gun and just, like, you know, pose for pictures. I'll just stay over here. You like it? How's my gun? You know, we can't, this is not a poser army. This is not an Instagram army. We can't just take pictures of things and never actually do the stuff.
Yeah, right.
We have to get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
Get in the dirt. Get in the mud with people. Get in the mud in your own heart, in your own prayer life. Like, figure out what's going on in your heart right now. Because stuff is coming to the surface in all of us. And it's a little bit uncomfortable at times, right? But we can, like, ignore that. And we could turn on the sports, but there's no sports. So I don't know what you're going to watch. You know? I know. I'm really glad there's no sports. Because it's an idol. And it's coming down. But I was, a month or two ago, I was having a moment where I just wanted to watch something, you know. And so I got sucked in to this Michael Jordan documentary from the 90s. And so I'm watching this and like, it was so pathetic. Like, it's an hour and a half long show, or 2 hours, and then you have ESPN commentators for like an hour just talking about the documentary. Well, what do you think about that shot that Michael Jordan took in 1992? You know? Oh, it was awesome. Let's do the replay again. That's all we got. And I'm like, oh, this is so good, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is like well over 20 years old. Like, I have better things I could be doing right now. I'll watch 5 more minutes. But this is, the idols have been removed. And in a battle, we are demanded to do something. We're demanded, like God demands us. He says, I need you to pray. I need you to worship. If this is going to change, if our state is going to shift, then we have to begin to be a more of an aggressively praying church and a worshiping church. And we need to begin to fight for each other. Practically, what does that look like? I'll give you just something very practical. That means like checking on people. So I want to encourage you, every single person in this room, I want you to write down 3 people. Nobody's getting out of this. I want you to write down 3 people in your life or in this church or in this community that you can check on this week. Because you're like, well, you do it. You're the pastor. You do it. No. We're all in this together. We're all running together. We all have to check on each other. And there's things that you can see as being a part of the body that maybe I can't see. Because you have particular giftings and you have particular eyesight, spiritual eyesight that maybe God will show you. And so I feel like this is a very practical way that you can re-enlist yourself. That make the battle alive again. Personal, exactly. Make it personal. Begin to check on people. Just do a well check. I'm just doing a well check. Just want to see how you're doing. And can I give you a word of encouragement? Hey, I was praying for you this morning, and I just felt like Psalm 27 was just really strong for you. Like, does that mean anything? Could I just pray it over you? You know, it could be so simple. Or, hey, could I just buy you a cup of coffee? You know, it's three people. It won't kill you. But it might save somebody. I can take you back to so many times in my teenage life where I was just such a knucklehead. And people took the time. I didn't have a cell phone. There was no cell phone. It was big cell phones. I didn't have one of those big cell phones. It's like, it was bigger than this. You know, it's like, hello? Yeah. But yeah. My antenna. Totally. Hold on. Let me put my phone away. I did have a beeper for a while. That was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, hey. Hey, guys, check out my beeper. 911. But I didn't have any of that, and people actually took the time to find me, to call my house, to check on me. And people from this church and people from this community, you know, and it was important, and it left such a lasting mark on me. You know, when people would just hug me and hang out with me for just even 5 minutes. It doesn't take long. Just give somebody a little bit of your time and give them a little bit of your victory, and that'll go so far. Amen? Because and I've done the same thing. Sometimes I'm busy. I got kids. I got just things I need to do and things I want to do. And so sometimes you're just like, well, I can't meet with all these people. But then it's like, well, what if you could just do 5 minutes, a 5-minute phone call. It won't kill you. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. That voice of reason is usually my wife. And the Lord, you know, the Lord and my wife are the best voices in my life. And amen. But God will give us a promise. He'll give us a plan. We enter the battle, and a lot of people will drop out at the battle, right? I'm almost done, so stick with me for a few more minutes. You want to jump up? It's okay. It's just someone's pager. Someone's awesome cell phone. They're just... so they drop out of the battle, and because it gets hard. And that's what I'm seeing right now. I see a lot of people in the battle with COVID, in the battle with all these things, and financial battle. And I see people just growing weary and just saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit for a little bit. I'm too tired right now. But again, say this with me. Don't give up. Don't drop out. Why? Because victory is coming. You see, all these things. Look at chapter 6. Like, there's this progression, this beautiful progression that promise, plan, battle. And then the final thing that we see is the victory. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The victory. And they take the city. They take the city. They take the promise. They inherit the land. And you know what? I just felt like I needed to say is that many times in our life we will receive the promise of God. And we get excited about the prophetic word. We get excited about the scripture. We receive the plan of God. We fight the battle. And then we give up in the victory. I've seen people give up right before the victory or right as they enter into victory, begin to give up Sometimes it's because you're just done. I'm tired. I've earned mine. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines now. I don't need to fight anymore. I don't need to lift my hands anymore. I don't need to press in anymore. I've done that. That was last season. That was 10 years ago. I'll let a younger generation do that. And so we begin to sit on the sidelines and just say, I'm just going to enjoy my promised land. But did you know that the promised land is actually a little bit more difficult than the wilderness? Wilderness, you're just getting food from the sky. Oh, praise God, manna, boop, you know, oh, water from a rock. Like, God is supernaturally feeding and sustaining his people. But in the promised land, they have to steward what God has given them. They have to take care of their own crops. They have to take care of their families. They have to take care of everything that God has given them, of the land. Take care of the land, and it will prosper. And so many times we get spiritually satisfied and we just get complacent and we sit on the sidelines and we just begin to fall away. And we drop out in the victory. But I want to encourage every person today, we don't have to drop out in the victory. Because the victory is actually God's hand reaching out from the heavens. And he's saying, I'm actually bringing you up into a higher place. And you're going to taste the goodness of this land. You're going to eat the fruit. You're going to eat the honey, the milk and the honey. You're going to have enough. You're going to have enough finances. You're going to have enough whatever you need. You're going to have enough. But at the same time, I'm taking you up higher. And it's going to be into a place that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable again. You're like, I have to start this thing over again. No, you don't have to start the whole thing over again, because this time you're going into it with deeper relationship, deeper connection with the Father. You're going into it with resources, with provision, with blessing from heaven, with the favor of God on your life. Come on. So I just want to encourage you. There's things in our life that, whatever it is, it could be your job, it could be your marriage, it could be all these areas of our lives where we work so hard, we work, we work, we work, we work, we work, we work. And then when we get it, we give up. Just don't give up. Don't give up when it's in your hands. Don't give up when the fruit is in your hands. Steward it well. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to wrap this up. But I felt there was one more scripture that's super important. Say, don't drop out. Say, don't give up. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I will remember the promise. Just take 10 seconds. Close your eyes. And let the Lord remind you of that promise. I feel like there's some that you don't have a promise. Let the Lord give you a promise right now. Let him give you, there's some that are getting a fresh word, a fresh promise. Let him speak. Father, we thank you for your words. Speak to our heart, God. I just pray you give people a promise today. Give them a word today. Give them something that they can begin to stand on. Remind them, those in this room that have forgotten the promise, forgotten the dream, remind them right now. There's somebody that the Father spoke a promise into you at 18 years old. You stewarded that promise. You cared for that promise. You watered that promise. Over this past season, it's begun to become a distant memory. I feel like the Lord's just saying, no, put it back in front of you. Water it again. Dream again. And live again. Joshua 21. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and they dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Here's the best part. Verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. I want to speak that over you today. Not a word will fail that has been spoken over your life. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is yes and amen. Every word that comes from God, that comes from heaven, will come to pass. But there's something that is so powerful and beautiful about Joshua. You see, you say, oh yes, okay, I receive that for myself. Nothing's gonna pass me by. But there's something so unique about this man named Joshua, and it was his obedience. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Joshua was a man that just said, I will believe and I will obey. I'll obey your very word. I'll obey the promise you've given me. I'll obey the plan that you've given me. It doesn't make sense. I can't fully wrap my mind around this right now, but I will obey. And can you sing that, I'll obey? Come on. Patrick has a good song. We'll end with this, but not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. See, we need to participate with what God is speaking and with what God has spoken. We cannot sit on the sidelines anymore. We have to obey. The words of the Lord are going to come to pass in your life. They're going to come to pass in my life. They're going to come to pass for this church. We're stepping into a beautiful season like we've never seen before. We're stepping into a beautiful promised land like we've never seen before, flowing with milk and honey. But we have to participate. We have to begin to lean into the promises of God. God, how do I participate with the prophetic? How do I participate with the scriptures that you've just laid upon my heart? How do I participate with this? How do I fight with this? How do I lean in with this? How do I obey? Just ask the questions and he'll give you the plan. But that's the simple thing in a nutshell, is just obey. So Father, we obey your word. We want to be a people that obey you. We want to be a people that say yes to you in adversity and all the seasons of life, God. We obey in all the seasons of life, God, with the tears, we obey. With the brokenness, God, we obey. With the uncertainty, we obey. Father, we want to be a people that obey with all of our hearts. That say yes with all of our hearts, God. That my yes would be bigger and louder today than when it was when I was 19 years old. God, let my yes be bigger today. Let my yes be louder today. Let the church's yes be louder today than ever before. In Church on the Mountain, and across our state, we just say, we obey. We will obey you, Lord. We're just going to sing this song. I just feel like God's just going to minister to your heart today. He's going to remind you of the promise, remind you of promises forgotten. And I believe some in this room are going to get new promises. Prophetic revelation right from heaven. And when he gives it to you, now it's up to you to steward it, to obey it, to lean into it. You know, we can go around this room and we can lay hands on each other. We can prophesy the roof off. But some of the most powerful and life-changing moments for me have been when the Holy Spirit just began to whisper into my ear. When the hand of the Father began to touch my heart. So I just want you to stand with me. And just posture your heart, your hands, your eyes, your attention to Jesus. And we're just going to sing this song. And I believe Holy Spirit's just going to minister to you today.
Lord, you are the one who gave his only son for me. Bruised and broken, Jesus walked to die on Calvary. Lord, you are the one who gave his only son for me. Bruised and broken, Jesus walked to die on Calvary. How can I thank you? What can I offer up to a king? How can I thank you with more than my words or the song that I sing? Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Lord, you are the one who gave his only son for me. Bruised and broken, Jesus walked to die on Calvary. How can I thank you? What can I offer up to a king? How can I thank you more than my words or the song that I sing? Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. I'll obey, I'll obey you, Lord. I'll obey, I'll obey you, Lord. 'Cause you are ever so worthy. You're so worthy. You are ever so worthy. You are so worthy. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my night. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Jesus, you are so worthy, Lord, ever so worthy. You are so worthy.
Father, we thank you that your will is perfect and pleasing. There's nowhere we'd rather be than in your perfect will, God. Show us the way, God. Lead us on your paths. Your perfect and pleasing will, God.
Where else would I want to be than with you? Jesus. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. You are so worthy.
Father, we thank you that you are with us. And that you are for us, God. And if you are for us, who can be against us? But we look to you, God. Have your way in each one of us. Fill us afresh and anew, God. Lead us and guide us, Lord, on your perfect paths, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, Mike will be up here. But have a great week. We'll see you next week.